This is Pants in the Boot, a podcast that puts the fizz in your water, or maybe takes it out. We talk about English and how the same word means different things, and how sometimes different words mean different things depending on where you're speaking them. Joining this episode are Anthony in England, James in Scotland, Erica in Canada, Dan in the great state of Massachusetts in the United States of America, and me, Glenn, in Washington State. Let's talk.
I feel like I should be introduced as being from Alberta because...
You represent all of Canada, monolithically.
You're from Alberta, but, well, do you want to be... So that gets into political
also,
issues.
Isn't different words meaning different things? That's
I was going to say, that's normal. That's the way we do things.
I was just thinking I was still awake.
Should work.
If you're paying
Sometimes
attention...
the same word means the same thing.
If you're paying attention, you understood. So lemonade, ginger... ginger beer, maybe 7-Up, Sprite, alternatives. This is incredibly confusing.
Wait, Steve Lutz isn't here, so we need an obligatory lemonade.
This is incredibly confusing to me. I've been to London twice for several days in the last year and a half, and this lemonade issue is baffling to me because I can't get people there or when I came back to talk about it. So we're going to talk this through, everybody.
Beyonce put out, was kind of a multimedia...
It's not a verboten subject.
I didn't think it was that confusing myself when I went to London.
Dan, I want you to tell me, being American, tell me, when I say lemonade, Yankee American.
Lemonade is, well, you can prepare it in a variety of different ways, but the crucial ingredients would be water, lemon, lemon juice, and sugar, usually served on ice. Commonly made from like a powdered pre-mixed thing that you just sort of mix, but like, you know, in good places you're actually making it with like real lemon juice. That would be to me a typical lemonade. It can be generally sometimes pink, generally sort of a pale yellowish color.
I will second that for Canada. When you go to festivals in the summertime, there's quite often a lemonade booth, and it literally just has carts and carts of lemons, and people are just all day long taking the lemons and squeezing them into big plastic cups with water and sugar and mixing them together.
Yeah.
So my question on this is, this isn't fizzy.
No.
It is not fizzy.
No.
Oh. Yeah. See?
That to us is traditional lemonade. If you just say lemonade over here, as I'm sure Glenn found to his cost, you will get... basically a sort of vaguely lemon-flavored, carbonized, fizzy
highly
drink.
Highly sugared,
you know?
Fizzy
drink. Yeah, yeah.
Now, like is a soda?
It's a soda, exactly,
yes.
Yeah.
Is it more like a seltzer or a soda? It's sweeter than a seltzer.
It's a soft drink.
So it would have like a, you know, sugar or corn syrup or something like that in it.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sugar, yeah, we don't do the corn syrup thing.
Yeah, and it
good
would
for
be
you.
It would be
yeah, that's an America thing. We don't do that in Canada.
Well, we grow a lot of corn.
And it would be typically, you know, lined up with the Coke and things like that in the fridge of a supermarket.
Now, is it what color is lemonade?
Sort of pale
gray,
yellowy gray.
Okay, because so like distinct
what
from like
was clear.
Yeah, I was gonna say like a Sprite or something,
oh,
which is
clear.
A lemon lime.
Okay.
You do get. I mean, I would count like Sprite and 7-Up. Sprite and 7-Up are in the sort of trashier end of lemonade.
Whoa. Well, first of all, Sprite is made with limon, let's be clear.
Limon.
Only
that's
the Americans will get
slice.
That one. No, it was Sprite. Sprite was with limon. That was definitely how the advertising campaign. But Slice is the Pepsi equivalent, was.
And Erica, you didn't grow up in Canada, so you don't know about Fido Dido and 7-Up. That's a whole other conversation, right?
I've never heard of Fido Dido, but I do know 7-Up.
We'll come back to that because I met a Canadian who was just going on and on about Fido Dido, who is some Canadian character, but was associated with 7-Up. Oh, it was outside the United States. The character was licensed for 7-Up. So it's just a very weird thing because people are like, oh, Fido Dido. And you're like, what words are you using together that mean something?
We have 7-Up over here as well, yeah.
But no Fido Dido.
7-Up's mascot, was it Cool Spot or am I making that
No,
up?
Yes, it was. The Cool Spot or The Spot? I can't remember now.
There was a Nintendo game about that.
Yeah, that's the only way I know it is through the Nintendo game, which I don't know if the marketing was used over here, but the game came out.
Now I remember that.
Only on Genesis. Yeah, okay, now it's looped me around to Fido Dido on Wikipedia, so that's great.
Yeah, I've looked at it, and the character actually looks familiar. I don't know if it just
I'm
looks like a
that.
Different character, or if I saw it
like,
somewhere.
It kind of looks like Doug from Nickelodeon.
Yeah. It's a very, well, I'm sorry, I got us off onto a tangent, because this show is all about going straight for this topic. Yeah. So it's Canadians will talk about 7-Up of a certain age, with a certain reverence, because of Fido Dido, it seems to me, as opposed to the actual liquor. But so lemonade, so Sprite and 7-Up, because they are citrusy-ish drinks that are sodas, you would put them in the lemonade spectrum. So if I ordered lemonade, if I was in an English chip shop and I ordered a lemonade and someone brought me a Sprite, would that be weird? No one would bring it to me. Someone at the counter would hand me a Sprite.
It wouldn't that be weird. What would be weird would be you asking for lemonade, to be honest, because it's not. We tend to order soft drinks over here by brand name.
I see.
What is the common brand name of a lemonade? If you were to order the most common version, what would that be?
Probably either Sprite or 7-Up.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now you've lost.
Okay. This is why I got confused. Can you see
that? If you're in a supermarket or something, typically the supermarkets will
like
have
a store brand.
They'll have their own brand, and it'll say, you know, the Marks and Spencer's lemonade.
So when I was in a pub in the afternoon and I ordered a lemonade, that was weird of me to do.
No, in a pub's different. No, because in a pub
they will have all those things as mixers.
They will have soft drinks as mixers on hose, which and this
That's
is actually
fairly common
why
here
you
too.
Why you should actually avoid this in a pub, because they use the same hose for soda water, Coke, and lemonade.
Oh yeah, that's the same thing here.
That's pretty common here.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's probably what you got.
And it was supposed to be carbonated, and it'll be slightly flat. And
okay.
Like
I have a tangent again, just because I thought this was fascinating to me. I referred to Slice as the Pepsi version of Sprite, which was true when Slice was still in existence. However, 7-Up, as it turns out, is basically owned by Dr. Pepper in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
And by Pepsi everywhere else, which blows my mind.
Oh, but
Dr.
wait.
Pepper here is, I think, oh. Dr. Pepper here is the different company to it is in the States.
And it has, yes. Does it have a different name, too?
So, yeah.
No, it's
the same thing.
It's like you can buy a can of Dr. Pepper here, but I think here it's Coke, because we get Dr. Pepper Zero. And over there it's Pepsi, or I don't know, but I think that one's different.
Yes, you're right. Coca-Cola distributes it in the UK. Fascinating.
I don't know whether you could buy it over here at this point, but I had certainly never encountered Dr. Pepper the first time I watched the Cannonball Run. So when Dom DeLuise is doing that whole "I'm a Pepper, you're a Pepper, I had no idea what that was about. No, I was like, "What
also,
is this madman singing?"
I'm incredibly amused also that the parent company of Dr. Pepper, at least in the U.S., is Keurig. It's Keurig Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that's
that's so weird.
What, as in the coffee pod?
Yes, they're the same company now. I guess they merged at some point.
Well, there is a lot of caffeine in Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, true.
Let me add one more thing to the mix here. Sierra Mist. Anybody?
Oh, no.
Sierra
Do
Mist.
Not.
Sierra
add
Mist.
That to nothing.
Mist.
Add it to nothing.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that?
In the Squirt, or what was the other terrible one?
Well, Squirt's, that's grapefruit.
What was the RC Cola? There was an RC Cola version.
Fresca, too, if you want grapefruit.
In the UK, you've never heard of RC Cola in the UK, right?
No, to me, I hear RC and I think radio control.
Yeah.
Yes,
RC Cola is the
Royal Crown.
RC Cola is the off-brandest of off-brand. It is every beverage you like, or sort of like, but worse, but cheaper.
Like Panda over here, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure if they exist anymore, but yeah, we had a brand like that called Panda that made its own versions of various soda flavors, and they were all the same, but slightly worse.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that a market with Coke and Pepsi in it like allowed any third party to enter.
Well, so the third party in Scotland, at least, is Iron Brew from Bath. And so Scotland is one of two countries, I believe, in the world where the number one soft drink is not Coke. The other being Malta, which has Kinney, which is a kind of very weird bitter orange herby soft drink. And Iron Brew, it's bright orange. I'm told it tastes a bit like bubble gum, although I don't see that myself.
You shouldn't be porting your eyes. You should be drinking it. Is the problem?
It's an acquired taste, I think. But
not that acquired. I like Iron Brew.
I mean, it's got a reputation as a hangover cure, which I think gets it exported to. I believe Russia is big into Iron Brew because they believe it's a hangover cure.
The closest thing that we have, I would say, which is also kind of regional, and New England is like Scotland in that way, is we have Moxie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is a actually yes, Moxie is a soft drink that is I believe originated, according to Wikipedia, anyways, in Lowell, Massachusetts, which is not too far from where I am. I think it's
sorry.
Still,
did you say Lowell, Massachusetts?
Lowell, L-O-W-E-L-L. Lowell.
Oh, okay.
Lowell, Lowell. Is that how I should say it?
Lowell.
Well, I was just listening.
Worcester and Lowell.
Lowell.
Yeah. No, that's how you say it. You just say Lowell.
Now we've started naming places after emoji.
Yeah. Moxie is now owned by Coca-Cola, but it used to be an independent soft drink company.
They're very similar, Dan.
Yeah.
Vertical integration.
And apparently, at least Wikipedia claims that the expression "you have Moxie" originated with the soda, which I'm not aware of if that's true or not. But it's old. It is one of the oldest soft drinks in the country.
There's a related thing. I wanted to get into ginger beer because I think that's clear, partly because I think ginger beer was not ever a U.S. thing. I think it was really, we always associated it with England or the U.K.
I would disagree with that.
Oh, is that right? But I feel like when I was a kid, it started to make inroads, and now ginger beer is a total thing, and all the brew pubs make their own brands. So you can go into a brew pub and get their brewed ginger beer. There are expensive brands of ginger beer. There's
now,
cheap
ones.
Are
you talking about alcoholic ginger
yes,
beer or non-alcoholic?
Oh, non-alcoholic yes. Ginger beer, but brewed.
Okay.
So what's the alcohol? So let's talk about ginger beer. I don't think it's too far off.
I would say that my first exposure to that, I feel like I read about that in books. I want to say in like Little House on the Prairie books, I think ginger beer was a thing.
I was thinking the Famous Five. Yeah.
Oh,
I kind of remember hearing about that, and I think it was something that was popular and then went out of style.
Oh, like sarsaparilla.
Right, it's regarded as really old-fashioned over here, yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's had a bit of a comeback in recent years, but certainly in the 80s, the only place that you even saw references to ginger beer, was in, like, old children's books.
Whereas ginger ale was everywhere.
Yes.
To me, ginger ale was a sort of tasteless version of ginger beer. Yeah, ginger beer actually had some kick to it, and ginger ale is like,
oh yeah, not so much
this?
Kick.
Yeah,
ginger ale is the thing. Fundamentally, canonically, I would say ginger ale is the thing that, as a kid, you had when your stomach was upset.
Yes.
Oh no, see, that was when we had Sprite and Slice.
Oh no, see, the ginger. It was supposedly the ginger was the thing that settled your stomach.
James, what did you? Was it Iron Brew in Scotland?
I remember Lucozade. Yeah, my grand would give Lucozade.
Yeah,
that's great.
I'm not sure if you guys
Lucozade is kind of like Gatorade.
Okay,
but it's sold as a sort of sports drink now. Mm-hmm. In a like it's vaguely good for you.
I think of like Pedialyte,
glucose drink, know,
electrolytes,
sort of.
Ginger ale was not a thing that you had necessarily for like hydration. It was, I think,
oh, see,
to me,
did.
It was. See, that was a thing that.
Although I grew up in the Midwest, where Verner's is apparently one of the oldest surviving ginger ales from way back. And Verner's actually did have a bite to it, so it was like the one ginger ale that we would try to get when we could because it actually tasted. More probably, it's a lot closer to ginger beer than most ginger ales.
I think I've had Verner's, and I think that's right. Verner's. I think that it actually tasted more. It had a kick, and ginger ale never did. The only place I ever had ginger beer is calling back to a previous episode talking about chips. The ye olde chip shop in my hometown of Eugene, Oregon, they serve ginger beer. It's the only place I ever had it as a kid. Always loved it. Then I moved to Connecticut for college, and they had ginger beer there, but they also had birch beer, which is a uniquely, I think, is that a Connecticut or Massachusetts thing too?
I feel like that's fairly universal.
I first had it in like South Dakota, I think.
Yeah,
South Dakota.
Same. Yep. I think when I was driving across the country, birch beer and sarsaparilla, like that was kind of where you found them still was
in the
Midwest. Yeah, I would say that for me, the canonical ginger ales when I was growing up were Canada Dry and Schweppes,
mm-hmm. Yep, which those were like are still sort of, the two biggest.
Yeah, the big ones
even
that
here.
You find. Even in Canada.
Canada is called Country Dry.
Yeah, for me, ginger beer, the first place I remember running into ginger beer, like in real life, was as a part of a drink, Dark and Stormy, particularly, which is made with ginger beer. And so, but not common. They were not common I like, you did not really buy it on its own to drink, in my recollection, until within the last decade or two.
Yeah, it gets used for, right now, Moscow mules are like, that's why ginger beer is so huge and with so many people I know, because they use it to make mules.
Yeah, so I think it was continuously produced, but it was not popular probably until the last, or at least not broadly popular until the last 10 to 20 years,
although,
is my guess.
According to Wikipedia, ginger ale became popular as a drink mixer. Like, and that's why Canada Dry and Schweppes are such a big deal, is because they were mixers.
Oh, so I would say also alcoholic ginger beer has made something of an introduction in the last 5-10 years here. And that's something you'll come across as like high-end alcoholic versions.
Here you have to go to fancy stores, like the fancy liquor stores, to get it, but they definitely have it.
I see it around a decent amount in these parts. Like it's not as popular, but it's not hard to find.
So I'd like to complicate matters slightly with ginger, because in Scotland, ginger is the generic term for any soft drink.
No,
really?
No. Oh, wow. Okay.
You don't call it pop.
No, so if you
that's a whole different story.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
If you could, you would say, you know, I'm just going to pop down to the shops for a bottle of ginger, but that would not be ginger beer. That would be, you know, lemonade, iron brew, anything like that.
Like a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi?
I mean, like, generally, yes, I would say. I mean, like, probably less so, because people would order a Coke by name, but yeah, it. Certainly growing up, very much, it was ginger was just any soft drink.
But you wouldn't say I'd pop down to the store for a ginger, because then wouldn't it get confused with just like, oh, just a person with red hair?
Yeah, so you would say a bottle of ginger.
A bottle of ginger.
Okay. I'm going to soda down to the store for a person with red hair.
But you could say, you know, I'm, you know, get some ginger. It's just if you say a ginger, then it's generally, you know, a term of abuse against somebody with red hair. But if you say some ginger, then that would be a drink reference.
I want to jump back to something Anthony said there for a second. Is pop used as a generic in the UK in terms of, like, carbonated drinks?
Yeah, that's the most common generic term for carbonated drinks of it.
I think it's incredibly wrong regional. For the first time.
But I think it's regional, because I've never heard pop used as a generic up here.
Right. I think regional in our sense, not in in America. You literally go like to the next county, and it's a different word.
That's right.
Regional by country over here.
It's regional here, but there are lines. So I grew up saying soda, and that was something pretty common in our parts. If I went to visit my cousins who live in Rochester, New York, which is about a 6-hour drive west. It was always pop, and it befuddled me to no end.
Me too.
For a very long time.
I grew up near Milwaukee in southern Wisconsin. My father had grown up in Eau Claire in northern Wisconsin, and so he grew up calling it pop, but I grew up calling it soda. And that was, and it honestly, around where we were, it was the urban areas said soda, and the more rural areas said pop. That was kind of like the sort of rule of thumb.
And just to make it even more kind of funny, this is not a thing I really use, because I think this was a generational thing that started to die out. But in Boston specifically, it was sometimes called tonic, just generically.
Oh, yeah.
But and I have vague memories of my grandmother saying that, but that was not a thing that we ever used.
Are you sure she wasn't just having gins and tonics? So.
I'm not 100%.
The one that blows my mind is in the South. Coke.
Coke,
what is going on every
day? It's because Coke is based in Atlanta.
We have to have somebody on from the South, because I have a friend from Louisiana, and she would talk about Wishbone and Hellman's. See, I'm taking my family from the South, and if I start talking about the South, I start assuming a Southern accent, which I do not have. Wishbone and Hellman's and Coke, everything was a brand name no matter what brand you bought, but it was all a brand name thing in the South to her.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, the idea that you might say, can I get a Coke? Oh, sure. Is 7-Up okay? It's like, what?
Yeah what, like what kind orange? is the traditional? Yeah. Well, now, of course, there are like orange and lime Cokes, like
that's
Coca-Cola's
true.
Too. So that must be even more confusing.
Yes. I've got some raspberry Coke Zero in my fridge. I've got some peach Coke Zero. Very nice.
Oh, my God.
Not orange? Orange Coke? What?
Orange vanilla Coke.
Erica, you had a Canadian observation to...
Yeah, so moving here in Edmonton, and Canada, I believe, has soda zones as well, but in Edmonton, it is...
Is that a shop?
In the but, grim future.
But there are some places where, like, some grocery stores will have soda on the aisle. And every time I point it out to Stephen and I say, see, soda. But I have taken to just calling it everything soda pop. It's just always soda pop, because then whoever I'm talking to doesn't yell
Guess
at me.
Guess what you mean, yeah.
Yep.
But I only know soda from cream soda as a drink.
Oh. Yes, that's true.
Right, which is vile. Yeah.
No.
What? Whoa.
It can be good.
Cream soda is awesome. No, it's one of my favorite drinks.
There are good cream sodas out there, and there are also very bad cream sodas.
Crush just doesn't make it.
I was going to say that the interesting part about that is, so, like, soda, I think generically could also be misunderstood, because probably things like baking soda and other stuff has soda in it, so I can understand why pop was used as a differentiator. I mean, what do you call a generically, like, carbonated water?
Sparkling water.
Yeah, sparkling water.
Does seltzer get used at all?
Seltzer
is a very, very specific thing. It's a type of fizzy water that is seltzer water.
Oh, really? Okay.
What makes it seltzer water?
I have no idea, but I know you can buy something specifically called seltzer water.
Yeah, because I know tonic water has quinine in it.
Right.
That's what
tonic
water.
Club soda has sugar, and usually sugar, too.
Club soda has baking soda? Club soda is baking soda?
Club soda has salt. It has salt in it.
Bicarbonate. Oh, there's bicarbonate in it, in club soda.
Oh, which brings up, incidentally, I should mention... we were very amused over here when you guys all went crazy over soda streams 5 to 10 years ago. Because over here, we got them in the 1980s.
What? Yep.
That's
unfair.
Crazy old fad over here that has long died away.
Honestly, it was the sugar thing, because I remember as a kid, accidentally, every once in a while, you would get soda where the syrup, if you're at a fountain, the syrup had run out, and you would just get like carbonated water, because it would mix it sort of on the fly, and you'd be like, this is terrible, because you were used to highly sugared soda water, and especially as a kid, that was like, what is this garbage? But I think, especially with the dietary changes and awareness in these parts, that's why it's gotten so much more popular. But also just because our country is so vastly ruled by the sugar and sugar lobbies.
Oh, have your fast food stores updated? Our restaurants have, most of them around me, including a local chain, have these crazy machines now that have a big flat panel, and you're like,
movie theater has those. Yeah.
That's become the trend. My kids, we used to be a thing that you could get at Dairy Queen, I think, called the Swamp, and they just filled it from a bunch of different things for you.
And here, if you went down the row and you filled it with basically everything at the fountain, it was called a suicide.
Suicide. Yep. Okay. Yep. Same in the Midwest.
Regionalism. I want to point out there's a fascinating thing on the New York Times from a few years ago. They published this interactive quiz that.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was born in, I'm giving away identity theft information. I was born in upstate New York. I won't give this town away. And I lived there till I was 3 years old. And both my parents were born and raised there and spent most of their lives there up to that point. I lived in California and Oregon and then went to college in Connecticut and back to the Northwest for the last 20 plus years. So I take this quiz a couple of years ago, and it's asking soda pop versus pop, almond versus almond, sack and bag, all of these things. And at the end it says, well, your accent's from upstate New York. And I'm like, what? I never lived there. My parents influenced me to such an extent.
I had the same thing, because it gives you three areas, and the places it gave me were Boston, obviously, literally Rochester, New York, which, as I've already mentioned, is where my mom grew up and my entire family is from.
Wow.
And Baltimore was the third one, and the only thing I can point to there is my mom lived in Baltimore for a little while.
Oh, jeez.
Or maybe it was D.C., something like that.
Mine pointed out either you're from Milwaukee, which I grew up right outside of Milwaukee, or Madison. I went to school in Madison and lived there for 20 years. And then the other one I think was like Denver, which I don't know. There may be some similar Midwesternisms that made their way all the way over to Denver.
Of course, they did. We talked about this because they did a UK version, and of course, I tried to take it as a person who is like an Anglophile but not from the UK, and it's like, it's like you're a madman.
you're not from anywhere.
You are an imposter, sir.
Yeah, I did that one, and it put me like just south of Glasgow on the west coast, and it was like, you are exactly here. It's like, okay.
The worst ones are when it comes up with your street address.
It got me to a T. It got me as Birmingham, which is where I was, the region where I was born and grew up. I don't live there anymore, and I've moved around a lot, but I lived there long enough that my sort of
formative years,
and speech patterns, and idioms and what have you were all there. And I must say, it got me very, very, it zeroed in quite accurately. I also did the American one. And what I did was I answered it as if I was writing dialogue for an American character in, you know, a story I was writing. And it came out as California, like obviously from California. Yeah.
Watch a lot of Hollywood movies, do you?
But that was weird to me because I thought I was answering it like a New Yorker.
Yeah, it turns out it's hard to nail those things from the outside, huh?
Right, exactly. But I have lots of friends from New York, and I just got it completely wrong.
I just asked what I said when I'm crossing the street, and I typed, "I'm walking here," and I figured it had me
nailed. Can't you see
I'm online for the subway. Well, I got to go pop out to the store for a redheaded person.
I've got a curveball I have to put in.
All right,
Oh, no.
All right. What is the generic name of soft drinks in Germany and Belgium?
Trinken. No, I got
something with 15 syllables.
Nope, it's lemonade.
Oh.
It's not pronounced exactly like that, and it gets shortened and various other things. James.
This is pants in the Belge.
It is a derivation of lemonade, is the generic. Fantastic. So you'll get an orange lemonade.
But it comes with mayonnaise.
Wow.
This has been Pants in the Boot. Thanks, Chris Breen, for our theme music.